I have a younger brother, and for probably the better part of 25 years, he has been working for one of the largest high-tech companies in the world in the Silicon Valley of California. And from time to time, my brother has shared with me how he went on a team-building day. And what this is he and everyone else in his department would get their pay as if they were working at their jobs in the office, but they would not be at the office and they would not be working. He said, one time we all went to San Francisco and went to see a San Francisco Giants baseball game. And another time they went to the Great American Amusement Park and spent the day there. Now, at one level, you would have to scratch your head why the company would pay their workers not to work, but to play and have fun instead. It doesn't make business sense when you're trying to make money. Well, what it did, well, that the purpose is to build the team, to try to somehow promote collegiality and cooperation among the workers in that particular department. And the company believes that they could accomplish that by allowing them to have fun together. That when they're able to have fun together, get to know each other in a different setting, then they're able to work together better, be more productive, and in the end, make more money for the company. And I tend to think that it works because my brother has deep, deep loyalty to his company. Goes in on weekends, stays late often because he wants to do well for the company. And they have been very productive. So team building activities, even though at one level it seems like a waste of money, it does apparently work. And I would like to suggest to you this morning that Jesus has provided us, his church, with a team-building activity. And it's something that we are having the opportunity to participate in this morning. We read about it in John's Gospel, chapter 13. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open it to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And this is John's account of the last night before Jesus was crucified. The other Gospels record Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. They were all gathered together in observance of Passover, and it is during their Passover observance that Jesus changes things and institutes instead the Lord's Supper, or what we sometimes refer to as the communion service. Luke tells us that Jesus gave to Peter and John the responsibility to make all of the preparations for the supper. For some reason that we don't know, they apparently neglected to make arrangements to have a slave or a servant there to wash the feet of all of the guests, which was customary. Now, John does not tell us about the supper itself, but he focuses instead on this foot washing that Jesus did for his disciples. Because there was no slave or servant there to wash everyone's feet, it then fell to one of the disciples to do that for everyone else who had been gathered there. But because they had been arguing with each other as far as who would be the top dog in Jesus' kingdom when he assumed the throne, each one of them thought, I should not have to be the one to act like a servant and wash everyone else's feet. Let somebody else do it. Nobody moved. Then Jesus stood up, got the towel and basin, and began to wash everyone's feet. And as he did that, all of the disciples felt guilty and convicted. Here, their master was doing the job of a servant, a slave. When he was done, John tells us that Jesus explained to his disciples the significance of what had just happened. If you'll pick it up with me in verse 13. Follow as I read. Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus tells his disciples, I've given you an example, that we should follow what he has done for us. And that's why when Seventh-day Adventists observe communion, when we participate in the Lord's Supper, it has been the practice of this particular church to also wash each other's feet. Jesus says he did this as an example to us, and he wants us to follow his example. And what's the significance of this foot washing stuff? Well, just as Jesus, their master, was willing to be a servant to them, Jesus says we should be humble enough to be willing to serve and minister to each other. This foot washing service is a reminder of God's desire for us to be humble and willing to minister to one another. When we do that, it builds the team. When we are willing to be humble, then that means we no longer have the need to put somebody else down so that we can feel better about ourselves. And when we're humble, then we're willing to place the well-being and the needs of somebody else before myself. You cannot be humble and proud at the same time. And it's pride that always wants me first. But when we're humble, we're willing to put others first. And through that, build unity, build the team. And we're able to function better as a church when all of us are willing to be humble and willing to serve each other. Jesus says we should do this as a reminder of his calling to us to be humble so that he can build this team that we have as a church. Now, I recognize that unity in the church in reality is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can create among ourselves. And were the disciples united this night? Not really. It didn't happen until Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. But this foot washing service, I believe, prepared the disciples for that time when the Holy Spirit would be poured out in response to their praying together. This foot washing service this morning gives us the opportunity to remind each other and ourselves of our need to be humble so that we can be ready when God will pour out his Spirit upon us in response to our prayers so that unity can truly exist among us. I'd like to direct your attention to verse 17. Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's one thing to know it. It's something else to actually do it. We all know that there are things we should do, but we don't always do them, right? There are a lot of people who believe communion is important, but they're not here to do it. We can know it, but it really is of no value until we actually do it. And Jesus says, if you do it, what will be the result? He says, you are blessed. And many of you know that there's another word that we can use to translate the Greek word that is used here as blessed. Happy. Happy are you if you do it. In other words, we can actually have fun washing each other's feet. I'm sure most people don't think about the foot washing service as something fun. But it is a team building activity. And when my brother's department goes off on one of their team building days, the purpose is for them to have fun. And I believe it is also God's purpose for us to have fun. Because when we wash each other's feet, it is a reminder of our need to be humble and willing to serve. And do you know what? When you serve, it is always fun. It's fun to go see a Giants ball game. It's fun to go to an amusement park. But after a while, that fun and that happiness will fade away. But when you minister to somebody else, when you serve someone else, there is a joy, there is a happiness that lasts, that will not fade away like the pleasure that this world has to offer. So this morning, I invite you to join your brothers and sisters in having some fun together and ministering to each other by washing one another's feet. And let's prepare our hearts for God to pour out his Spirit upon us and bless us with his unity in his church. The Seventh-day Adventist Church practices an open communion. And what this means is you do not need to be an official member of our church to participate in our communion and our foot washing service. As long as you've chosen to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to join us and participate. So at this time, we will separate to wash each other's feet. There are rooms prepared along the Sabbath School wing here for the men and women to serve each other. There's also the Better Living Center behind me that is prepared for any married couples who would like to serve each other. So as you separate to observe this foot washing ceremony, invite the children to come down to the front, and you can sit here in the pew, and I'll have our story together while the older ones are washing each other's feet.